What if you could predict your future? Does this seem too good to be true? It can be done. All it takes is using your mind to give thought to how you want your future to look. What is it that you want to see? How do you want to be? And how do you want your life to go? These questions can be answered by you. This isn't about manifesting, it is about creating. If you want to be healthier, speak to your future healthy self and tell her, what are you doing today to help her be healthier? You want to be happier? What is it that you can tell your future self you are doing today to create a feeling of being happy? Thinner, richer, more of something, or less of anything at all? Dear future self, here's what I am doing today to support you. In this podcast, Dear Future Self, based on the book by the same name, author Susan Axelrod, the Confidence Coach, interviews women who understand the benefit of speaking out what they want for their lives. Why is this important? Because speaking to your future self supports you here and now. What would you say to your future self? Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me for another episode of this podcast that I just absolutely love. You know, in my work as a professional speaker, a podcaster, and coach with my marketing of videos, I do watch my videos. I do listen to my podcasts. I want to see what was said. Because most of what I do is completely extemporaneous, encouraging guests to give me spontaneous responses to deep thinking questions. That's really how this whole thing came about. My third book was called Dear Younger Self. And this book came about from my writing to my younger self to let her know that she was going to be okay in the future, even though she was very fraught with anxiety, being a type A. When I wrote my younger self book, I knew right away that I would start writing the articles to my future self. If I could speak to my younger self and help her heal and help her understand her future, then why couldn't I speak to my future self and help her understand that I'm dedicated to her best health and wellness? I have invited women to join me on this podcast series as guests, and they are responding in droves. Today, I'm so happy to introduce you to my friend and colleague, Lisa Drotter. Hi, Lisa. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, good morning.
I'm so happy to have you here. For full disclosure, Lisa and I went to high school together. It's been a few minutes, hasn't it?
Absolutely. The decades just go by.
The decades do just go by. And actually, that's why I'm so happy to have you on this podcast today as a guest and to have this discussion. I put out an email to many people, and I asked you in particular, why does this thesis, Dear Future Self, resonate with you? How does it resonate with you?
I think it's a very powerful concept. The idea that you can choose your future. You see, my mother lost my dad. My dad died when he was 64, my mother was 62, and she hadn't looked at her future, and she was completely blown away by it and became depressed and ill. And I thought, you know, I don't want to do that. I can make some choices. So I lost my husband about a decade ago. And so, life changes. You have impacts like the merger of a couple of companies forcing you to move. But, I was able to stay resilient, to look at what's important to me. And for me, my future self is one that is active, one that is curious. And so every day I think, what am I going to do today? I don't want to be anxiety prone. I want to try things just like I did as a child. So yeah, it dear future self is something that I try to live into every day.
You know, I have chills like literally rolling through my body, Lisa. Could you just tell me, you said your dad died when you were 64. How old were you?
Oh, no, when my mother was six, he was 64.
He was 64. That's what I meant. How old were you?
About. It was 2002. So I was
20 years ago.
40.
Yeah, about 20. Yeah, 40 years yeah. old. So at 40, you're a full on adult, right? It's not like a 20
yep.
year at the beginning. So at 40, you were a full on adult. You experienced the loss of your father. Your mom was young, arguably.
Yes.
And you watched in your adulthood with your adult lens what happened to her, basically. And over time, you realized that at some point, and this is really why I wanted to have you on this podcast, because I've watched you for quite a long time be, like you said, I wrote down active and curious, and I've watched you be active, or I would even say proactive in your life. And I even wrote down the words of my own introduction, speaking out what you want for your life. And then the thing that I love about you, Lisa, is how you use the word resilient, but I see you also taking action about these things. You did also then lose your own husband. So there's a real story here, right, of connecting from the younger self to today, to the future self. And but I do want to ask you, how do you get inspired to take action? I see you going places you want to go, doing things you want to do, keeping healthy, well, and fit by riding your bike, walking, hiking. I see you engaging in creative activity for your soul. I see you saying yes to opportunities for self-care. How is it? Where does that impetus come from?
So when I was a parent, well, I'm still a parent, but with young kids, you know, with young kids, you get to try different things. You expose them to piano lessons, taekwondo, scouting, you know, you give them all kinds of things to sample so that they have an idea of what they might like. So my current life is a lot like that. So that I'm not sure what kind of routine I will have, or even if I will have a routine, I am open to trying new things because I think it's important. You see, my mother in her last decade was becoming increasingly anxious. Her world was narrowing all the time. And that's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. I thought, I'm not going to narrow my world. I'm going to the edge of my comfort zone all the time. So I'm going to try drawing, which is actually kind of stressful. or I'm going to walk in you know, nature, or I'm going to get on my bike and try new bike paths I haven't been to before. You know, I'm willing to take that risk because it will help me gain the confidence and strength to, you know, do whatever I want to do. It gives me freedom in the end. So wow. I liken it to the way I raised my kids. I'm doing the same thing for my grown-up self.
This is amazing. I mean, I'm so excited already for you to listen back to this podcast conversation. So you said, I'm willing to take the risk, and that you realize, and I'm speaking this out again for our listeners and our viewers to hear these words and write them down. It gives me more freedom. You actually said it gives me freedom to feel more confident. I am the confidence coach. It is all of the basis of my work in coaching to feel more confident about what I can do. You know, you've spoken about resilience. But I do want to say, Lisa, that, you know, a lot of people see things happen. You said you saw your mom's world was narrowing. This is amazing that you have given us this frame today. This is a frame that other people see, but they don't necessarily have that impetus. So, you know, after she lost her husband, she became increasingly anxious. You know, your mom's world was narrowing and that you were willing to take the risks. What are some of the fun, most fun things you've done in this, inside this frame?
So just this week, I went for a bike ride. And so there's this rail trail. And so I had already done part of the rail trail, but I knew that it would connect to something else that will take me towards the beach. So I went that way. And it went through a residential area and then it was on streets. And so what I liked about this is I expected one thing, something else occurred. It wasn't what the way I saw it. But if I hadn't ventured, nothing gained. If I hadn't tried it, I wouldn't learn anything. So just yesterday I was talking to my son about this and saying to him, you know, I could try something. It doesn't mean I fail if the outcome comes out differently. It means I've learned, you know, how to do things like maybe I need to use Google Maps to look at the street surface
in advance.
You know, so I'm constantly learning, and it doesn't, it's not a fail or a pass. It's, you know, venturing out and seeing what I can do and what I can learn from it. And I think that's all fine.
In our younger years, we often feel, you said fail or, right? Either
yes.
Or pass. And this is something I actually do have many, a growing number of clients who are 40 or even younger, under the age of 40, some under the age of 30. And this is one of the things that I share with them as well. And if you forgive the use of the term, Lisa, in our maturity, we learn that there doesn't have to be the word or, you know, it doesn't have to be either or, it doesn't have to be black and white. It doesn't have to be yes or no. I love what you're really helping us to understand. I wrote down learning / experiencing. And then it's not a fail or pass. I love that you were having this conversation with your son, that you could be like, well, you know, I expected one thing, I found out another.
Yes, exactly. So that you're not afraid, because if you have a lot of weight in the outcome and it doesn't work out that way, so your expectation might be here and the reality is here, then the difference between them can be disappointment. So it's the way you frame it in your head. You say to yourself, oh, that was pretty funny. How did I end up here on this bike ride to the beach? Okay, so, you know, I'll go back and go look at Google Maps or something. You know, so you learn by doing, actually. And if you don't do, if you don't take those risks, you don't learn anything.
Oh my God, this is crazy. I love my life right now. I love this conversation. I love this idea. If you don't take risks, you don't learn anything. I guess we could say, there's a measure, a scale for risk. Some people are risk averse, right? Risk adverse. And so some people are high risk oriented. But I do want to really make it clear to our listeners and our viewers that risk is, you know, to your definition, to your comfort level. So yes. nothing ventured, nothing gained. You know, if you don't take a risk, you'll never learn. You can still do this at your level. So getting on a bike and going to a bike path may really be low risk. You know, I'm going to talk about physical and health in a second, Lisa, but it may be low risk for you as opposed to last August, Lisa, I jumped out of a plane. I didn't plan to jump out of a plane. I was never one of those people. It was never on my bucket list, but I watched my 20-year-old niece do it. And I don't have any idea what happened to me, Lisa. I just found myself by a strange series of events that I happened to be in that location. And I asked her if she would do it again with me. And she was like, yes, Aunt Susan, of course I would. That's a much higher risk activity. Most people wouldn't do that. But anywhere from getting on your bike to jumping out of a plane. I also want to say, Lisa, you know, some people will be viewing this and some people will be listening to this. So you held up your hands and you said, you know, from here to here, you know, and you talked about if you have a lot of weight in the outcome. So you held up a higher hand and you held up a lower hand, and there's space in between that you said the result, if you don't reach the high expectation outcome, right, the lower, if you only reach the lower level where the lower hand was, the difference is disappointment. I mean, that was crazy. That was so good, Lisa.
Well, you know, it's funny, as a young person, we are driven to this pass-fail dichotomy. You know, you have to get an A on the exam. You have to go to a good college. You have to be a good parent. Everything is an absolute. But then later, now I'm 60, you know, and I don't hold myself to those expectations. In fact, they can. I think that's part of why my mother had anxiety, because her expectations were so absolute and so high that she couldn't meet them. So she didn't try. So I think, at least for me, if I can navigate and, you know, learn, I will have so much more acceptance of myself and joy and peace, instead of, you know, being a type A perfectionist as I was as a kid.
Acceptance. Oh my gosh, this is crazy. Again, I say this every episode. That's why I love podcasting, speaking, interviewing women, Lisa. I want to invite people to play this back, but this time take a pen and paper like I always have. I'm already on the back page of my notes, and really listen to what it was that you just said. You know, Lisa, somebody might be thinking, well, it's easy for you to say, you know, somehow you made it through those years of the expectations, the absolutes, you know, like you said. And I'm also 60. I wasn't going to call it out. I didn't know how you felt about it. But at this point, once I broke through my own anxiety about turning 50, Lisa, there's this like unleashed freedom to kind of begin to move from that paradigm we're talking about, because often young parents as well have this total absolute belief about how they should do things. And also they're being told that by many people. And so you said, when your expectations are so absolute and so high, you said that about your mother. My mother's expectations were so absolute and so high, I make an arrow to anxiety. It leads to anxiety. So I want to ask you, as I have observed and experienced with you, Lisa, I see you really tending to all, as we call them, the buckets. The self-care buckets of life. We've talked a lot about the spiritual, emotional, and mental wellness that underlies all of what we're talking about now. But there's also the physical. I do see you really putting a lot in to what I call the physical bucket. Talk to me about your commitment to the physical body and wellness.
So in my family's medical history, we have kidney disease. It was kidney cancer that killed my father when he was 64. My mother had chronic kidney disease. I, too, have chronic kidney disease now. And so I look to the future of the possibility of dialysis, and I want to fight that. I don't want to sit in a chair for 6 hours, you know, and then feeling weak afterwards. So and I also want the freedom that I mentioned before. So I want to be able to get out of a chair. I want to be able to climb stairs. I'd like to walk in nature on uneven, you know, terrain possibly. So for me, it's important to maintain my strength, which is muscles, whether it's in my legs to get out of a chair or in my arms to pick up something or to turn or twist. But also cardio. You know, I want... Part of my spirituality is to be out in nature, to listen to the birds, to see the sky, to feel the warmth of the sun on your face. And in order to do that, I mean, I have to get off of a, you know, sidewalk. I want to be out in a field. I want to be in the woods. And that takes balance. And it takes, so I have to maintain strength. I have to maintain my ability to, you know, walk and get back to the car. You know, I can't just go out there and not get back. So in order to do the things that bring me joy, like getting out in nature, I need to stay strong so that I have the freedom to do that.
Oh my God. I mean, this is so crazy, Lisa. I want to encourage you to write. I really do. I'm going off. Well, we don't have a script, of course, because everything is extemporaneous, but it's like, I'm speaking directly to you. So I want to tell our listeners and our viewers, step aside for a second. but if they want, they can listen to what I'm about to say and learn for themselves. These messages that you're sharing, Lisa, I don't know about this business with the kidney disease. You know, it's a chronic disease. It sounds like it's obviously genetic in your family, obviously of some sort or form. And even if you figured out a way to write and speak to people in that community, which is yours, it's deeply personal, or also any chronic illness community. I have a friend and colleague who's an author who wrote a book for people with chronic diseases and illnesses. I'm going to put it in the notes for our conversation. I can't say how much I want to encourage you to write. When you say this whole thing, I wrote down every word. See, these are my notes. I'm holding up my notes. I want to be out in nature. I want to listen to the birds. I want to see the sky. I want to feel the sun on my face. And all this takes balance. For example, you said, I will need to be able to walk back to my car. You said, I want to be able to do the things that bring me joy. This messaging is so important. And also, Lisa, you're speaking it out now. And I'm holding up my book again, right? To your future self, so that she knows this. You're doing everything in your power so that she can be well and fit and physically able and capable for as long as that is determined. And that's you like taking that into your control. I'm so in love with this. I can't say enough about how much I want to encourage you to think about writing.
Thank you. Well, the truth is, you know, you might think that something like a chronic disease would be devastating, but the flip side of that is it provided me an opportunity because there's a possibility of something in the future that looks scary to me. It gave me the incentive to work towards, you know, enjoying today. What can I do today for my future self? You know, should I lift some weights today? You know, it's just, it's an opportunity to live life more fully. And so I feel blessed because of that.
Oh my God, this is crazy. This is just crazy. It's an opportunity to live life more fully, but you know, underlying this conversation, Lisa, is good mental health and good mental wellness. Because somebody who receives a diagnosis, you know, a chronic diagnosis, if they're already in a down position, you know, in a depressive life or, you know, whatever, then it would be, you know, a blow. Not that it wasn't a blow to you, but, you know, you looked at it, you received it, and you like stood up to it. Like for our listeners, I'm raising my body, you know, my upper body as if I'm standing up to it. So would you say you were in a pretty good, you know, what have your mental health practices been?
Well, so I do a lot of thinking and journaling actually. So when I write, it's to myself, analyzing my thoughts. When I got this diagnosis was the same year, 2016 was a very difficult year for me. That's the year my mother died, July 8th. I launched my daughter. She had graduated from college. So I helped her get settled across the country on July 15th. And then on July 20th, I was notified, you know, because of the merger of Dow and DuPont, I was among the 700 getting laid off. So I had all of these losses and thought, okay, fine, I'll put the house on the market, I'll find a new job. And as I was driving towards my new job, I had blood work results in my hand and telling me that I had chronic kidney disease. And I thought, oh gosh, what does that mean? And so I'm driving from Michigan to Nevada, and I had a lot of time to think, and you know, how am I going to do this? And as you suggested, I'm going to fight this. This is not going to get me down. And how am I going to do that? You know, what do I need to do to keep that dialysis possibility as far away as possible? And besides which, you're driving across the country and noticing all these things. You know, I was taking pictures along the way. And you know, so part of it was, I have to appreciate the world around me. Look at all this. It's like the word awe. What brings you awe? What makes you go, wow, that's incredible? It's there's a lot of stuff out there if you just notice it. So for me, it's thinking and journaling that helps me mentally put things in perspective. And I'm a fighter. I just have been. Yeah.
Wow. God, I'm like mic drop, baby. No, really, I'm serious, Lisa. You know, since I've been in your existence a little bit more over the last year or a few years, I've watched this in you. And I've watched you. I haven't known this story. That's why I particularly invited you to come on to this podcast to have this conversation. Can you feel like the weaving, you know, my program is like Dear Younger Self, where you have to go back and heal. You know, that's why I asked you, how old were you when your father died? You were about 40. That was your younger self. You know, we're talking about your future self now, the future self. You are doing everything you can to keep yourself either off or put off dialysis as long as possible. You're completely taking things into your control. You're committed to your future self, you know, health, wellness, and also to live in awe, you know, even just as you say it. Again, I always speak directly to our viewers and listeners in these podcast conversations. You ask them a question. You ask them a question. I want to make sure they heard that question that you asked them and that they take a pause to think about the question. The question was this: what brings you awe? Mm-hmm. What brings you awe? Now, Lisa, just for the record, as a coach, as I am, I know most people don't even know awe. They're so in the, I call it being in the down position, you know, their shoulders are down, they're in a depressive state, they're worried, they're living in anxiety. There's all this shit going on, you know, all around them, both personally and globally. And so I love this conversation to invite people to ask themselves, what brings you awe? So Lisa and I both spend a lot of time in nature. I was enamored of these things that she talked about, being out in nature, listening to birds, seeing the sky, feeling the sun on my face, because I too resonate deeply from these things. So I guess I want to say, first of all, thank you so much for coming on and having this honest conversation. Also for women our age, you know, Lisa, I know that it's so deeply ingrained in a desire to help our, I call them our younger sisters, to, you know, live differently. I would like to say, my intuition is very deep. And so I got it. I knew, I didn't know why I was saying, encouraging you to write. Of course, I didn't know about your own personal journaling practice that is so deep. But I would like to say, you're going to be coming up on a decade. It feels like it may be a long way away, but it's really not that far away. 2026 is going to be a decade from the time that you had this extraordinary year of 2016. Yeah. And so I'm not telling you that you need to do anything, but I am suggesting the idea, the opportunity that on the decade anniversary of the year that changed your life so profoundly will be a future self time for you. And you might decide to spend some time curating your journal writings and publishing it to really help inspire and support and, you know, just shower this amazing, truly amazing wisdom on others. So I'm going to leave you with that big idea.
Thank you. That's interesting. The decade, I hadn't thought of that. So
stick with me, baby. All right. That's our time, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really will look forward to hearing more from you and encouraging you to speak more, to write more and share what's in you, because I took two whole pages of notes just from our conversation today. And there's a lot of richness there. So take good care and I'll see you soon.
Thank you.